You're tuning in to Big Guy Small Talk, where we have conversations and not interviews. Although sometimes we do have interviews. Good morning, people. How are we feeling? I hope you're feeling good, man. I hope you're enjoying your week so far. We got a couple of big things going on here at Big Guy Small Talk that we're getting ready to do, so stay tuned in the next upcoming month. Probably we'll have some stuff for you, some new surprises, some new content, some things we've been cooking up in the kitchen. But I just want to say thank you for listening, man. It's been a crazy ride doing this podcast. It's been a lot of fun, you know, having a little moment of self-reflection this morning and thought I would thank you because it means a lot to me. You know, I work tirelessly on this thing, and it's cool to see people enjoy it. It's great to get feedback. It's great to see it entertaining people for their day. You know, some people just put it on while they do their work and, you know, they hear half of it because they're just focused on what they're doing, and I love that. So I just want to say thank you. I just called to say I love you. Except I really just wanted to say thank you. Good song, though. So today's guest is Jostin Dooley. And Jostin is a graphic designer and a calligrapher and internet sensation. You know, he's got his YouTube channel going. He's got a big, he's got like a cool Instagram presence. He's just fun, man. He's a dude who hustles hard and works hard and nice guy. And I'm just glad we got to have a good conversation. We had a good time chatting. One thing that we chatted about, and kind of want to hit that nail on the head during this intro. If you're an artist and you have friends and they hit you up for art and they don't offer to pay you, ain't that shit annoying? I bet it is. I'm not an artist where people are hitting me up for my art. But it's not, it's like one of the only things, right, where you paint or maybe not painting, but where you sketch or draw or do graphic design. And people just hit you up for that stuff. You know, you wouldn't do that to a friend who is a chef. You wouldn't say like, hey, can you just cook me a dinner? Could you just come over and do that for me, you know, whenever you get a chance, whenever you get around to it? I'd really appreciate it. You wouldn't do that with anyone that has a talent, right? You should always offer to pay. And we talk about that because I think it's hard whenever you're an artist and you're creating things and they come from you and people have known you beforehand and they're used to maybe you'll sketch something and maybe give it to him because you don't really want to keep it. And now all of a sudden you start valuing your work and you expect them to be on that journey with you. And they're just not on the same page. And so kind of navigating those waters. And it's cool. We get into that sort of towards the end. We chat about a lot of things. Just him starting from the ground up. Starting a business. Starting to sell his work and what that experience was like and what motivated him to do it. So it's a great podcast. It's a great episode. You're great. Dude, have a good day. Make someone's life better. Make your life better. You know, all those other cliches that are on posters. And that's it. So enjoy this episode and have a great day. Have you heard any of my episodes?
Yeah, I listened to a few.
The intros are just always so bad, I think.
You know what I mean? That keeps it authentic and keeps it fun instead of having something pre-planned. It's like, you know, having a microwave dish compared to having a dish that you make in steps from scratch.
Yeah, but sometimes scratch food can suck. That's the problem. True. but no, man. So tell the world who you are.
So my name is Jostin Dooley, and I'm originally from North Carolina, and now I currently live in South Florida. And, you know, I must say, at first I was really scared to move down here, because it was, you know, moving from a place you are so comfortable with and you already know about everything. So living here has been good, and I'm really thankful at all the challenges that I've had to experience. And I went to school for graphic design. Before, I had no idea what graphic design was at all. I was at a skate park one day skating, and one of my homies at the time, he told me, he was like, "Yeah, I'm at school for graphic design." I was like, "What is that?" Because I grew up skateboarding in the late 90s, and I've always wanted to design skateboard decks, and learning what graphic design was, going to school for it, and really just learning about it has been very, very fun. And it's something that I've been able to keep a passion with, and I made a commitment to myself to stick with it and not give up.
Yeah, that's cool, man. So, are you a fan of like Shepard Fairey?
I was when I was in design school.
Oh, what happened?
I, kind of grew out of it, grew out of his work, because I used to be really into graffiti and a participant in it, and realizing that, it could lead to something good, depending on how you want to go about it, and then you could go down a totally different path. And that's what I noticed myself. So I became a fan of his, and then I just grew out of it
Yeah.
because I started discovering other artists that were more of my style.
Okay. Yeah, he's a little bit. So, for people, just so they can kind of understand a little bit more context, Shepard Fairey is a street artist, and that's kind of the title that they give themselves because it's not graffiti, but he puts up posters or he puts up stencils of things. And he's famous for the Andre the Giant face with the Obey. That's like the big thing. And then he made the Obama Hope poster, which
I
was
remember that,
huge.
how that was a big deal, and how he got us some hot water for stealing that photo.
Yeah, he got in a lot of hot water for it and made his way out of it. I've seen that documentary on Hulu twice now. Sorry to go off on this tangent. But one thing that was said during the documentary was like really, it just, he's kind of full of himself, you know, when
Oh,
you
yeah,
see him.
ego.
He's really ego driven. So is the photographer, because the photographer said like it was cool to be a part of this picture that used the photo that I took that got the first black president elected. And it was like,
Exactly.
what? Like your photo did not get Barack Obama elected. It helped. It helped publicize it, but it wasn't the.
And that's another thing. It's like with a lot of stuff, once you find out about it and then you learn that the more you get into it and then you start hearing of these other artists and you notice that the ones that have big egos, and you're just like, you know what, this is not what I thought it was.
Have you seen a lot of that?
Yeah, especially when I was in design school, there were a lot of people that had big egos, and like, the teacher liked their work, and they would think, oh, yeah, I'm the. Could I curse on this?
Yeah, you can say whatever you want.
Oh, okay. But they were like, yeah, I'm the shit, and. It's just the vibes they gave off. And then I was thinking, it's like, you know what? You, the teacher likes your work, and we're all here to learn, but outside of these walls, you're nobody knows of you.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, so then how do you approach your art differently? Because a lot of your stuff is motivational, right? Is that intentional?
Yeah, I, the way I go about approaching my work, I like to create stuff that's going to, motivate people. And at a time in my life, a lot of motivational quotes and, a lot of the self-help stuff was, really helping me. And because it's like at one point I was in a relationship. It was when I was younger and I'll never forget it. And we had just broke up and I, thought was in a very dark place. And then I discovered lot of good motivational speakers that I still listen to from time to time, but not as much. And I use my work to, you know, help people. Like, you could come to my feed and you could see something and it's like, you know what? I needed that today. I needed to read that because I just want to, I don't want my work just to be about me. I want it to be for everybody.
Yeah. So what, if you don't mind me digging a little bit into that relationship, so what happened in the relationship? How long are y'all together? I'll ask that question.
We were together for like 2 years and 6 months. And I was young. I was like 18 and so in love. I thought that she was the one and didn't realize it wasn't. It wasn't at all. And then, you know, just the physical and mental abuse of that. It's like, it taught me a lot, I have to say. And then the first time that I in my life had said, you know what, this time it's over. After the second time of doing something that wasn't, that was something more so for her in her best interest and not for both.
Damn. And so you got out of that and then saw motivational things that helped you and wanted to give that back to the world. That kind of what happened.
Correct. Yeah.
That's cool, man. So what was something that you saw that, I guess, affected you? What's something you remember reading?
A quote from the first Black billionaire, the quote that I still have to this day, that if I was to get a tattoo, I would get it tattooed on me. It's a quote of keep going no matter what. And there's been plenty of times when I'm just like, oh my goodness, you know what? I don't know if I could do it anymore. But it's like, just keep going no matter what. And you'll get through it and you'll get to where you want to get to. And then another thing that helped me with, you know, staying more positive and motivational and wanting to help other people is when one day when I was out skateboarding with my homies and the crosswalk that we were crossing, traffic was backed up. And I said, you know what? I'm going to do it like how they do in New York, how they just cut through traffic. And I did that. And if one of my homies didn't call my name, I would have got hit by a car. And I had jumped. It was as if I didn't jump as far as I did, the van would have hit me.
Damn.
Yeah. I was like, whoa. After that, I was like, I can't play with my life anymore.
No, you cannot. That's a bad thing. Yeah. Okay, that's cool, man. What were you gonna say?
And then another accident was when I was just fucking around at the skate park one day, and I had went to board slide a handrail. So doing that, I almost broke my ankle. It was a grade 2 sprain, and I couldn't walk for like almost a month, and I was bedridden, and I couldn't really do much. And that as well is another thing I'll never forget. It's like the whole mentality of, it's like you can't even really go anywhere.
Yeah.
And you have to, I had to crawl up and down the stairs, and sitting at the kitchen table, I had to prop my ankle up just to have breakfast.
Yeah, just like a bowl of cereal.
It wasn't comfortable at all.
No, that sounds awful. And how old were you when that happened?
I was 18 or, no, it was probably like 19, 20. I was in between like 19 and 21.
Okay. So have you always been into creativity and skateboarding and design? Has that been something you've been into your whole life?
Yes. Skateboarding has been a major part in regards to my creativity because me and my cousin, we would sit and draw in our sketchbooks and, you know, really think nothing of it. And I would always choose my skateboard decks based on the graphic on the bottom of them. And then I would, when I was in middle school, I would draw like cartoons on the back of my desk for my teacher to read, like Beavis and Butthead cartoons and, you know, little comic strips from,
yeah,
from skateboard mags. And I was like, you know, always into that stuff, and it was me, and it was fun.
How good was Tony Hawk, man? Like that pro skater game, Tony Hawk Pro Skater for
Oh
the
my God,
64.
the first one
That was a goat.
still is,
Great
yes.
game. But how long would you spend like whenever you unlocked all the decks? Do you remember like spending time like picking a deck out and a board? I don't
Oh my
know.
goodness. Learning how to, that was like around the time when they used to have the game magazines with all the little cheat codes and the
Yep.
tricks.
Yeah, I think there's a website called CheatCC,
Yes,
and then
that is it.
there was another magazine called like Nintendo something. It was made by Nintendo, and then there was another one called like Gamer something magazine.
Yeah, that was around the time when you used to get demo CDs in magazines,
Yep.
and people would go into the convenience store, wherever the hell the magazine was, and just take the demo disc and play the hell out of the demo disc and never buy the game.
Yeah, it was a different time then, man. But Tony Hawk Pro Skater was just one of the best games. Love it.
Yeah, and another thing about Tony Hawk Pro Skater, the music in the game is legendary, and it helped the bands and then the skaters in the games help them as help the skaters as well.
Right. It brought ska to the forefront of culture.
Yes,
'Cause
definitely.
I didn't listen to any ska, or any punk music. But like if I know punk music or ska music, it's probably from that game or from rock, like Rock Band
Oh yeah, that too.
and Guitar
That
Hero.
too.
It's like those three games are the only reason I know anything about those genres. So
I agree. I agree. That is 100% factual how a video game can have such a cultural impact still to this day, and it came out so long ago.
oh, and it was great. And it was cool because he was really involved in making it. Like, really
Yes.
heavily involved in the way it was. And I'm sure if kids play it today, they look at it as like the graphics were shitty or whatever. But, dude, it was so fun, man. And then the first level was awesome. It was the, oh my gosh. It was like a warehouse, basically.
Yeah,
And
I remember.
you went.
Warehouse where you roll down a bag and then you could launch over a
Yeah.
half pipe.
Yeah. And I don't know, it was a great game. I loved it. I had a good time playing it. I still have a 64. So, for those of you who don't play old games, man, I think they're the best. I don't play the new games. I don't fuck with the new shit.
Yeah, I don't really get it. I don't care too much for them because I like playing video games that bring people together.
Well, there's that new stuff that what's it called?
I know Fortnite is one. I mean, not
Yeah.
saying that
Yeah, Fortnite.
video games and now don't bring people together.
Fortnite's supposed to be pretty cool, but I get motion sickness, man. I just vomit if I play that game. I would just
Yeah.
straight up vomit. It'd be bad. Yeah, I'm such a
Yeah.
dork.
The video games are fun though. They help kids with a lot and people get paid to play them.
Hell yeah, man. So then what do you do? So you do art. So you're a graphic designer right now, right? For a
Yes.
full-time job. But then you
Yeah,
also do
my
your own
yeah,
thing
I'm
too.
a I use my at my day job, it's more or less like graphic design, a lot of project management and customer service, all that tied in together.
But you also have an Etsy store, right?
Yes, I have an Etsy shop where I sell my calligraphy prints and stickers, working on some new products as well for the summertime.
Okay. So is it, do you think it's a better idea to go through Etsy or to make your own shop?
I would say starting out, it's better to go through Etsy because you'll have a good example is like you could look at Etsy like Walmart, and you have a Walmart and a Sam's Club, and right in the middle, you could set up your shop and you could have the traffic from those two stores, or you could find your own plot of land and drive people there. So Etsy is like a big place to drive traffic. But it's just like anything, you got to learn how to use it. You got to learn how to drive traffic and keywords because whether you do your own site or Etsy, you're not going to get people to come there if you don't market it.
Right. So then are you, I don't know, like how much profit do you make off Etsy? 'Cause I think a lot of people want to open an Etsy shop, but they're used to like, I mean, a bad example that's kind of analogous is like Spotify, people put their art up there, but Spotify barely pays them anything, or like Amazon will kind of screw business owners over sometimes. So does Etsy do that, or is Etsy pretty?
Etsy, only thing that Etsy would take from you, only thing Etsy charges is a 20-cent listing fee, and then you get charged a fee for people whenever they purchase stuff as well. And like making profit on Etsy, a lot of it is you have to first take into consideration the time, and then another thing is the shipping, and then you want to also not send people crappy products. Because a good example is you don't want to have coffee mugs and then drop it and break it and then glue it back together and then send it out to a customer. That is just terrible, because you always got to take yourself and put it yourself in the receiving person's place. And it's really, you got to think of profit, time, and shipping, and how you're going to ship it. And, you know, internationally as well, learning how that works and doing that legally. Because if you ship something out of the U.S., you're going to have to do a commercial invoice, which is what is inside of it. And you can't cheat on that because it's against the law. And if you get caught, it's not going to be good.
So then are you, like, do you have your own LLC? Or are you, like, just independent?
Yeah, I'm just independent. It's just a little side hustle. I haven't got to a large level yet.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's a lot of... So, sorry, you do calligraphy and typography, right? Those are like the two main. Plus other design. You draw, you do other cool designs. But
I can do branding, marketing, calligraphy, t-shirt designs.
Right. Yeah, it's... It's really cool stuff, but I think it's cool seeing a rise in that that art, man. It's blowing up. It's getting big. So
yeah, I was actually surprised by it, because when I first started with Instagram, if you go deep in my feed, you'll see I'd actually started out hand lettering, trying to do alphabets in little pocket notebooks, and the stuff is so bad. And then, like a year or a couple months later, I started seeing brush lettering. And then it gets to the point where it's just exploded. So many people are doing it.
Yeah, it wasn't too big, and now it's huge.
Yeah.
It's definitely blown up a lot. And I think it's good, man. Do you meet a lot of people who do lettering, but they see you as competition and not as someone they can collaborate with or do work with?
Yeah,
because it is so big?
I have to say, not so much like people seeing it as competition. I now see people that they copy people more so than wanted to collaborate. Because you come across someone's page and it's like, oh my goodness, they have all these followers. Look at their work. Maybe if I start doing work like them, I'll be able to get the followers. And collaborating, I've done a few collaborations, and it's very, very fun. I really enjoy doing collabs.
Yeah, that's cool. So how does that work with the collab? Like, you just make a design, they make a design, y'all put it together, or?
Yeah, exactly. I come with an idea, and then I'll send my piece over to them, and then they could add their own twist to it. And then it's like we're bouncing ideas back and forth until we're happy. But, you know, if we do a collab and the final result is not like how one person doesn't want it to be, I'm not upset. People don't have to post the stuff.
Right. Well, and there's been this just huge, from what I've seen, a huge gravity or a huge pull towards entrepreneurship.
Mm-hmm.
And my guess is that it's because capitalism has created huge companies which can leave people without purpose.
Exactly.
Right.
It's like in regards to like you saying, like seeing this huge uprising in entrepreneurship. Not everybody should be an entrepreneur, because let's like think, if you put $500,000 into a restaurant, and You've already managed a restaurant and everything, and then stuff starts going downhill, and you start losing customers, and you have payroll, and you got to pay all the stuff. That's going to start wearing on you mentally compared to people that are more comfortable just having a 9-to-5 job. Because over time, I've learned that there's a lot of people that like to have good ideas, but they don't like to execute on those ideas, and they're not mentally capable of dealing with what comes along with that.
Right. Yeah, I think that's just a big what I'm seeing is everyone wants to open up a shop, or everybody want, like myself included, right? Like I have a podcast, and but I think a lot of it's because they see other people doing it. So I guess, which leads me to a question that I have for you, but do you meet people who see you doing it and they say like, "Oh, I want to do that." Or do you see people go like, "How do you do that?" Right? Like how many
More or
people are
less the set of
inspired and how many people are like just intimidated by it?
More than people asking like how, they just do it. They don't ask questions. They have the they're so focused on the money aspect from the beginning. It's like whatever business you start at the beginning, you're not going to make money, and you're always going to have little slips and falls of stuff that happens, and then you have to learn how to correct them to make sure it doesn't happen again.
I think that's really good advice because a lot of people do go into business just wanting to make money and don't realize it costs not just money, but your time.
Oh,
Like
yeah.
your time, I mean, doing this podcast, I wouldn't do it if I didn't love it
Exactly.
because it's most of my free time goes towards it.
Yeah, and a quote that I was going through my feed and I had seen a very, very quote, very, very thought-provoking and deep quote to me, and that has helped me. It was, I believe it was from the founder of Zappos. I believe it's the founder of Zappos. If I'm incorrect, I apologize. And the quote was, "Chase the vision, not the money. The money will end up following you." And once I started calligraphy, taking it serious, posting daily, and then started an Etsy shop, failed at first. And it's like the money, I haven't chased it, it has just came to me. Even though it sounds like so stereotypical of the secret, it's just that's what has came.
Yeah, I think that's great. And do you ever make anything that flops?
Oh
Like
yeah.
you make it
My
and
whole
you're
Etsy
like
shop was.
"Oh shit, this is fire." And you put it out and like no one wants it.
Oh yeah.
So
I've
okay, go. You talk about it. Like I'll let you talk about it.
Yeah, so when I first heard of Etsy and I started taking calligraphy seriously, got into when I say seriously, I mean I bought the pens, the paper, the ink, and I said, I know what I'm going to do. I have such a great idea. I'm going to draw every single state, and I'm going to buy this beautiful paper, and I'm going to get them printed on it, and so many people are going to buy them, are going to want to buy them. Nobody bought anything.
So, how much money do you think you spent doing that?
I say it. Damn, it's been so long ago. I'd say maybe at least like $40 or more. I don't even remember.
That's
And
not too
bought
bad.
so many poster tubes too, and nobody bought anything.
Do you still have those graphics?
Yeah, I still have the poster tubes. I use them because I mean they were some of the best that you could get, and they were recommended to me by a good person I met on Instagram.
But you don't have any of the graphics anymore that you made of the
Oh,
states?
of those of the posters.
Yeah, that you wanted to make and sell. Did you end up making them?
I probably had them in a box somewhere, or they got tossed. I have them on my Instagram though, and that's so horrible. It's like looking at it now. I said to myself, "I would not hang that shit. I would not hang that shit up on
Yeah.
my wall."
So then, all right, so like you're doing this and I'm pretty sure when you open up an Etsy store, did you tell family and friends about it? I would assume you did, but I don't want to assume.
But I did. I told them, but I didn't force it down their throats. I was like, yeah, I started an Etsy shop and I sell my calligraphy work.
That's about it. So then, well, I'm only asking that because you go public with it, right? And people who know you know where to find your Etsy shop, and on it you put this product that no one wants. So how was that? Like, did anyone say anything, or like how did you navigate those waters afterwards to go back and try again, even though you failed?
I realized that I had to first create a product. Well, first create something that people would actually want, and learn how to create something that people would want, and then my other meeting people that actually have successful Etsy shops. And then another thing, realizing, what did I do to learn? Yeah, researching online, watching YouTube videos, listening to podcasts, looking at other Etsy shops, what's working, and what else? Yeah, it was a lot of research and trial and error and learning how to market a shop and make people want what I have, and a bit of psychology as well behind it.
Oh, that's cool. So like psychology insofar as how to get people to buy what you're creating, or how to create things that people want to buy?
All three. Like, also, people wanted to buy what I'm creating, and actually more or less like getting people to actually care.
Gotcha. Yeah, so what did you find out through that, the psychology of that?
It was realizing that people are buying into me. They're buying into me more than anything, and realizing that I am the brand of what I create.
Okay. And then is that how your YouTube channel got started and your social media presence? Because you do have kind of a big social media presence. You have a YouTube channel. You do Instagram stories all the time. You're on Snapchat. You're all over the place.
Yeah, I, from doing a good example of people buying it to me was with YouTube. When I started YouTube, I was doing vlogs, and people were learning about me, and then, you know, learning the psychology aspect from that, and using that experience and tying that into like how I market myself and on social media, and, you know, really not being afraid to show like my true self and what I'm interested in, so people will know like more about me, other than I post calligraphy or brush lettering work to my Instagram feed. They're like, okay, it looks pretty, but what are you into? Like, what could I know about you?
Right. So it's almost like you're the product now. You're the, like you said, you're the brand.
Yeah.
And so the brand creates product, right?
Exactly.
That's really cool. So are you, so going back to that first time you failed, mm-hmm. what was it like with people around you when you failed? Like, what did they say when, you know, you had to come back to them and be like, yo, that idea sucked. Like, I gotta go back to the drawing board.
Well, they really didn't say anything. They just like, oh, okay. And the same thing happened with a shirt design as well. I still have all this documented on my Instagram. I still remember one person. He was like, oh, for that much, that's too much. I wouldn't buy for that, because I thought it was so good, and just like people wouldn't buy it.
Right. Yeah, and it wasn't, just from what you said. Well, no, but I just think all this is important, man, because there's people out there who they're afraid to put their ideas out in the public, because once it's in the public, people criticize it, right?
Yes, that is another thing. It's like, you, if you post something online or tell someone, you have to believe in your work more than anything, because people could say whatever. It's like, let them talk, but as long as you're doing it for you and you're having fun doing it, and that's like one of the most important things.
Right. And I think I think someone coming from kind of a small area like myself, I don't know if you're from like a big city or not, but when once you break out of that bubble, you find people who are supportive of you, right? Like,
Yes.
and they may not be in your close circle because maybe you just don't come from an environment where support is taught, you know, like how to be
Yeah,
supportive.
exactly.
Yeah, I just think all that's interesting, man. I think anyone who puts their ideas out there is brave, even if it fails.
Yeah, you have to, like, I come from a small town in North Carolina. We're originally in Hillsborough, then moved to Durham. So it's like if you, no matter wherever you live in the world, there is a place online that you can congregate and meet other like-minded individuals. Twitter, Instagram, Reddit, I mean, everything you could think of, whether it's good or bad, there's people out there that are interested in it.
Right.
There's either a community or a website devoted to it.
Oh, absolutely. And I think people need to hear that because a lot of people want to start something, but they're afraid of failure.
Yeah, and I learned how to deal with failure from skateboarding. Like skateboarding, I learned that a lot of it was just mental because tricks, it's like practice is what helps, but you have to fall down and get back up again repeatedly and make little corrections. Oh, okay, I didn't land it. Let me do it this way. That's going to work. Okay, I landed it. Now, let me land it again so I'd be more consistent. And then it become a habit and do it every day. And then it becomes a little bit easier. Because it's like realizing every day gets a little less hard.
Yeah. So are you, I don't know. You're pretty consistent on Instagram, right? Like what, do you have a plan that you post once a day or twice a day, or do you just post whenever?
Yeah, I just post. I post at least once a day. If I miss a day, it's very, very rarely because I just felt the work that I have to post didn't meet the. I wasn't feeling it, but it's very rare that I miss a day. And I've been posting every day consistently at the same time as before. I'll post at 6:40 every day, and now we post between like 6 and 7. That was before Instagram had the business account thing where you could track like your analytics. Because every time that I posted, I always wanted to think of people that are getting off work and that are taking like they're either driving or they're on the train, the bus, or whatever.
I think that's great, man. And I think but you don't I remember we talked one day, you don't draw every day, right? Like you set aside a time to do your post for the week, right? Or do you not?
Don't give that secret away.
Oh, my bad, dude, my bad.
No, you're good. So I have one day that I dedicate, that's directly for Instagram. And I create five pieces. And throughout the week, like in the morning, I'm going to create a piece and post that. But, I always have a backlog of work that is easy to edit, post, new captions, hashtags, and it's easy. I mean, people just have to set aside the time to do that, and they could be consistently posting
Right.
every day.
And I think a lot of people think, oh, I don't have time every day to do this. Well, you don't need time every day, right?
Exactly.
It's like some people meal prep on Sundays. They cook meals. You do that, but with Instagram, right?
Exactly, because
That's smart.
way I'm able to do that is because one, that's what I want to do. And I enjoy doing it, and I'm doing it for me and to post and motivate other people.
That's cool, man. I really like that whole model. Plus, I like what you do because everything is motivational, or some of it is just clever. Like the your smile is my medicine
Antidote.
antidote. Yeah, I liked that whole thing. It was really cool. I like that whole
Yes,
design.
little quotes that I I listen to a song and I hear it, or I see it on Pinterest, Instagram, Twitter, or wherever, and I see it and I'm like, holy shit, that is cool. Let me put that in my notes on my phone or write it down so I could create a piece from it.
That's really cool. So you get a lot of your inspiration from other people, and then you turn it into something graphical, right?
Yeah, I find inspiration everywhere.
That's awesome. Dude, I think art is one of those... I mean, if you look at our country, like, we're just so privileged that we can even do art. Because you can't measure... I love art, man. I wish more people did it, but it's just so cool that we live in a country where we don't have to, like, work. You can make money and a living off of, like, making art. That's dope.
Yeah, it's like you said, you could make a living off of it, and you can make really good money off of it. You just have to put your work out there. You basically just have to get started.
Yeah. I hear you. Even if it's bad, I think.
Exactly. Just because it's going to be bad.
Oh, yeah. My first few episodes of this podcast, the quality wasn't where it is now, and I'm sure in 20 episodes from now I'll look at this episode and be like, man, the quality wasn't where it is now. You know what I mean? Like, always having that, just like you do with your art. Every drawing you see from a month ago, you're probably like, damn, that wasn't as good as this one is. Or
exactly. And that's how I am with the work that I started on my iPad and Procreate, some early stuff. And I look at my stuff now, I'm just like, wow, I've actually gotten better with doing work on my iPad.
When did you start actually seeing that people were buying your stuff from when you started putting it out there?
It was really immediately.
So, like... Like, what do you mean? Like, give me a timeline. Like, a month, 2 months, a year?
I'd say maybe, like, 6 months to a year. I believe I still have the first purchase when I sold something. And I still have the first review when I first sold something, and then when I got my first, well, I just said the same thing twice, because I was so, you know, so amazed by it, and I was like, wow, like, somebody actually bought a piece from me. Because I just think of when I was in design school, how one of my teachers, she told me that I have terrible hand skills in regards to typography, and that she would never hire me. And can you hear me?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And I was just like, you know, that always is in the back of my mind about my work. I'm just so appreciative of when people purchase my stuff.
Yeah, plus it feels good to make money. So yeah. not that you do it for the money, but... You also don't do it not for the money. You know what I mean? Like, it's nice when you can make money off of what you love. So
exactly. And I am so grateful to have the opportunity to create pieces that people can put up in their homes or wherever they decide to hang it.
Yeah. Do you have a lot of repeat customers?
Yes, I do. And I always make sure that I take care of them, and I let them know that I appreciate them.
Yeah. Cool. So then, all that being said, man, I want to get a little bit more personal, so I'm going to take kind of a turn here. So what does that look like when, I don't know, what does your day-to-day look like? What's your, I was going to ask you about dating, but I kind of wanted to segue into it, but that's just not going to work. So how's your dating life?
Non-existent. Because I have to, if I was to get back into dating, then I would have to make time for that person, or I'll have to get them to help me with what I'm doing.
So about how much time do you spend on your side business?
Pretty much every day. It's every day, basically, yeah. Because I work full-time, and in the morning, I am creating And, you know, just doing like the logistical stuff, like checking my social media, posting to my blog whenever I have something actually interesting to talk about. Then the Facebook, doing editing videos for YouTube and creating content for them. And then engaging on Twitter, and then Instagram, and then Snapchat, and then emails, and then the Etsy shop. And yeah, I mean, it's at times it could be a bit much, and then I make realize that it's will take quite a lot to slow all that down.
So, have you tried dating in the past and it just doesn't work out for that reason?
Yeah, the last time I did, I was talking with a girl and she had asked me for money. And me and her hadn't been talking for no more than like a month, if that.
Okay. What you
And
need, like, for what? What you need money for?
I think to pay some bills, I'm guessing.
Your
I
oh,
guess
so she
after I
wasn't.
had told her, I was like, no, I can't do that. She stopped talking to me.
No shit, really?
So after that, I was like,
That's crazy. Whoa, man. I forget that people like that exist out there. Isn't that what, so is that attractive to people that they see you hustling and doing your own thing and they like, is it tough? Or like, is it attractive to people when they see you doing your own thing?
yeah, I always get a vibe of that, and I always am cautious because it's like I don't want them to jump aboard this train and then try to see what they can get out of it, because it's like this is what I built. It's like you haven't did anything.
Yeah. Do you see other people
I
trying
mean,
to do that?
not to come across as like, oh, this dude is an asshole and he thinks that way. It's just like, I feel that is the mentality that anybody would have. Like, if you had an automobile that you bought all the parts for and put them on yourself, and then somebody wants to come and do whatever, it's like, you did all that work.
Yeah, I hear you. I think people, or rather, do you think that other people, not just women in relationships, but other people try to do that as well?
Oh yeah, a musician that I listen to, his name is Russ, and on
Oh.
one of his, oh, you've heard of Russ?
Yeah.
Yeah, and on one of his songs, he talks about like people looking for a free ride, and he's not handing out scholarships, and that's like it's so relatable because you when you're building something, you just have to be cautious of the people that are just looking for a free ride.
Right. So then how do you distinguish the difference between, because there's a difference between someone looking for a free ride and someone networking, right?
Yeah.
So what's the difference?
And
What to use like a red flag?
for me,
Or just like an example of someone doing that where you kind of figured out what they were up to.
what I always do whenever I'm talking with people, I don't really ever talk about myself in a conversation. I'm always more interested in the other person, like what they do and why they do what they do. And like if they ask me, then I'll start talking about myself. And a red flag for me was recently I had got offered a business proposition for a guy. It's like I don't judge people by how they look, but if it doesn't align with my morals, like if you're the type of person who tries to cut corners and like steal people's designs and use them in your business without the people knowing, that is like whoa. So I always make sure that it's in how do you say, in line with what I believe in.
That's cool, man. That's really cool. Yeah, I always you always have to come across that way, you know, especially people who are starting out you know, approaching whenever you're approaching someone who's kind of been doing their own thing for a while, it does have to be like a collaborative effort. I think a big part of that is like willing to put in more than what you're asking for. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I'll take the bigger jump so you can just help me out a little bit. Because, you know, I'm a fan of collaboration, but at the same time, you do want to make sure you're not putting yourself with people who are just going to take from you and take, you know, steal your creations or steal your ideas.
Yeah, exactly. And that is, I mean, it's kind of scary to think about, but that's really just the reality. And we have to be prepared for that to happen sooner or later.
Yeah, I feel you, man. I wish more people, I don't know, I guess, and it's so weird because I used to be into like downloading music off Napster back when Napster did LimeWire and the BitTorrent. And now, like, I couldn't imagine doing stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like, taking what someone has made for free where they aren't offering it for free.
Yeah, and to think about it now, I don't remember the last time I downloaded music. I was listening to music either on SoundCloud. Because I use SoundCloud because I like discovering new artists before they get popular and other people find out about them, like on a bigger level than just me, and Apple Music. So, I mean, yeah. I feel, yeah, I don't really download music at all anymore.
Yeah, man, you always bump SoundCloud. I always see your Instagram stories where you got some new SoundCloud artists going on.
Yeah, and the reason I started doing that because someone I had met from Periscope, I seen her like posting different artists on her stories, and I'm like, holy shit, that is cool. It's like, you know what? Let me do that, and let me share the musicians. Let me share the songs that I like. So it's like other people could see them, and if they like them, then they could listen to artists. If not, oh well.
SoundCloud's another weird thing because I wonder how people make money at all on SoundCloud. It's got to be tough, man. Yeah,
dude. I have no idea.
It's got to be so tough because people take beats. Like, I've used beats from SoundCloud that are free, you know, like the free commercial ones that they put. But it's just crazy that people do that. It's like to put all that time into making something and then just to give it away for free. Which I guess is what I do with the podcast, but
that's different. With that, I think it was a video clip I had seen on Instagram. He was a producer, and he was talking about producers, you know, really not valuing their work like they should. Recently, like a month or so ago, I was on my website, and I had seen a old post I had did, like a page. And when I first started selling my calligraphy work, I sold it for $5. How much value do you think you'll get out of if you bought something for $5 that is an original calligraphy print?
So what do you sell them for these days?
I sell them for $25 for 8.5 by 11, printed on very high quality paper from a French paper company. Like, no cheap copy paper that you can go to like FedEx or an office supply store and buy.
Yeah, and I mean, that's still fairly, like, cheap considering some people... it's all about name, too, right? Like, the more recognized your name is, the more you can charge. Art's a weird... It's a weird thing when you buy someone's art, man. It almost feels like you're buying a piece of their soul that's going to last forever.
You're gonna hang it up somewhere. I still, at times, find that kind... Like, I have pieces that I've sold, and I was like... I kind of don't want to let it go because I loved it. But then I think, you know what? It'll be better going to someone that's going to hang it up and enjoy it compared to it sitting here in my place not doing anything.
Right. Yeah, dude, I completely hear you, man. I think, I don't know, I'm a fan of moving forward. You know, like when I do a podcast, I rarely listen to podcasts after they're published.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I publish them and I just, that's it.
Yeah, because it's like you want to keep going. You don't want to do one, sit, and then do another one if you feel like it's like always moving. Keep it going and not stopping.
Have you heard of Nipsey Hussle?
Yes, I've heard of Nipsey Hussle.
He did this really cool thing where he had been making mixtapes, I guess, and he lives off I don't know the name of the street, and I don't want to act like I do, but it's somewhere in, let me just Google this, man, so I'm not sounding like an idiot. Nipsey Hussle.
And Crenshaw and Slauson.
There you go, Crenshaw and Slauson. Yeah, and he sold his mixtape for like $100.
Yeah.
Which was dope. And people bought it. Like, they bought the damn thing for $100. That was crazy.
Yeah, actually, I'm reading the book that he read before he did that. And the book is called Contagious by... Actually, I have the book right here. It's Contagious by Jonah Berger. Berger, if I'm even saying that right. Contagious, Why Things Catch On. And in the book, it has a similar scenario of I believe it was either in Philadelphia or New York, a restaurant, and they were selling a cheesesteak, and they were selling it for $100. And at the times, people were saying, why the hell would you pay $100 for a cheesesteak? But you know what? People are buying them.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a place, another place in New York, they're selling gold chicken wings for $1,000.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, people are going to buy it because of the experience.
What's like, I thought what was cool about Nipsey Hussle was he was saying how he sees Disney World and he sees that they use their logo on everything. They sell everything with their logo, right? It's not just movies or cartoons, but they sell towels, t-shirts, coffee mugs, shoes, keychains, whatever.
You're right about that. Wow.
And so he was like, why are music artists only getting, like, we sign with the label and we record music and we get profits from the music, but then they use our name on merchandise and they get that profit as a label, when we're the artists, like, we should own everything. And so that's why he created his own music label. And he sells everything, man. Like, he sells keychains and t-shirts, and I mean, he's a brand. Like, he has his own he has his own clothing store and everything. Like, he's really savvy as a businessman.
Yeah, and I first learned about Nipsey Hussle when I had watched a documentary I came across on YouTube of him opening up a store, and just watching how he goes about his stuff. It's like, I try to do my best to, you know, have that same mentality and implement that into things that I want to do. Because, prime example, he's doing it.
What are you looking up?
No, just saying, like, he's a prime example of, like, being, like you were saying, savvy with business.
Oh, yeah, man. Plus, he's someone who... I don't know, like, he flips the game around. Like, who sells a mixtape, period, and then who sells it for $100 a piece?
Oh, exactly. It's like having the confidence to do such a thing, because people now, it's like, I'll give it to you for free, compared to, no, you're going to pay $100 for this.
Nah, it's pretty crazy. But it's also weird, because, like, artists, being friends with an artist is tough because people try to get them to do things but not pay for it.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, oh, will you draw this? And it's like, okay, cool, it costs about this much. And if it's your friend, they might be like, why does it cost money?
Yes, all the time. I need you to design this for me. It costs that much? It's like, oh, so you don't think my time has value.
Right. Yeah, that's the thing, man. I think art's a weird thing, and people don't, like, so I come from a science background and a math background, and I'll talk to people in my field about art, and we'll talk about whether or not the government should fund art, right? Like, and by funding, I don't mean education-wise. I mean, should the government be spending money on hiring like an architect to put a building up, a government building up, right? How much time should we spend in the design of things that go around the city? And I think we should spend a shitload of money. Not a shitload, but I think the idea that, like, when things look good, they change neighborhoods.
Exactly.
They change the city. Like, Dallas has one of the best skylines, and we use it to market. Like, it brings people into Dallas.
Yeah, just like New York, New Jersey, Los Angeles, Miami, London, Shanghai, all those major places.
Yeah, and people just see, like, a lot of people just see artists as, especially if they're your friend, it's like, oh, here's this hobby you have, put it to use for me, and that's
Yeah,
it.
exactly.
And they don't see it as
It's
like
a
a,
hobby.
yeah, and it's not like a monetary skill.
And then another thing that is so funny how people are like, I'll pay you an exposure. I'll pay you an exposure.
Yeah.
Want to go to your lawyer and say that. You want to go to McDonald's and say, you know what? Let me get a number one and I'll tell other people about how good it was and you'll get some more customers. They're like, no, you're gonna pay for it right now. You're not getting anything.
Oh, dude.
Or similar, or going to the emergency room. If you're all able to help me feel better, then I'll pay you after. It's like, no, you're gonna get taken care of, and then you're gonna pay.
Yeah. It's a tough world out there for people creating art. It's hard.
Yeah, and being an artist, designer, basically just a creative person in general, you have to learn business if you want to do this and be able to sustain yourself.
Yeah.
And that very, very important thing. And I know people that are good with creating, but they're not good with business. So you could find a mentor or someone to help you out with business aspect of it, or you could even get an agent.
Yeah.
I, for one, I've learned that about myself. It's like I really enjoy creating, but can't just create just for the sake of creating. And I also, whenever I fall into that trap of creating just to creating and like posting stuff on Instagram and on my stories for people to see, I kind of feel like selfish that I should just keep that all for me.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's a really good point. But, everyone, so just for anyone listening out there who's, I think, trying to take that first step, I think all this is good information for them. You know what I mean? Because a lot of people are, they don't want to fail. It's just, and I talk about this almost every podcast because it's such a big thing, but you meet people who have goals and aspirations and dreams. If you just ask them, like, what's something that you really want to do but you're not doing, most people will answer that question, right? No one's gonna say, like, I'm doing everything I want to do right now, right?
Exactly.
It's rare that you meet someone to answer it. And so you meet people all the time who want to be doing things, but they don't want to take a risk. And so I think it was really good having you on and, like, talking about, especially where you talked about how you failed. Like, failure is just part of it, man.
Yeah, and I always think, what do you have to lose? What are you going to lose from trying?
Exactly. Exactly, man.
But you got to be smart about it, though. Don't say, I'm going to quit my job and I'm going to be the successful YouTuber. No, you should keep your job and on your days off or whenever you get home, create content because I'm speaking from experience. Not in regards to the YouTube thing, but from quitting my job and wanting to just devote myself to something. That did not work out. It didn't work for me. And for majority of people, it possibly would not work. So go about it the proper way. Have a job that pays the bills so you have money to cover everything and you could devote time to what you want to do. At first it's going to be hard, but you gotta be dedicated and you gotta want it.
Yeah, and I think people need to just start. I think that's my first. Anytime I meet someone that wants to do something, it's like, then just do it. Like, don't wait. don't wait to be ready. Like, you're never going to be ready.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. A great thing, what I do at my day job, when people call and ask, are we hiring? I ask them first, before anything else, hey, put application in. Oh, no, I haven't. And then what did you call for?
Yeah. I hear you, man. So people, if you got goals, just do it. Shia LaBeouf, just do it. You know what I mean?
Do it.
Yeah. No, but for real, that was such a good thing. Yeah, that was brilliant that he made that behind a green screen or like in front of a green screen.
Oh, yeah.
That was genius.
He had the vision that it was going to be maimed.
Yep. And it was hard. Yeah. All right, man. Well, we're going to wrap it up. Any last words for the people listening?
Well, I want to say first, thanks, Raphael, for the opportunity. And thank you, Layla. I appreciate the recommendation. And thank everyone. I just thank you all for, just thank you so much for listening to this. And thank my family, friends, everyone who supports me. And I am just very, very grateful for the opportunity.
Oh, dude, attitude of gratitude. I love that. That's what's up.
Yeah, because right. It could all go away.
Yep. All right. So, hope you guys enjoyed the episode, and we are out.